This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is On the Media's Midweek Podcast. I'm Brooke Gladstone. Last year at this time, 9 months into the pandemic, many of us kept apart from one another, missing out on all the gathering, yam eating, relative screaming, football watching, and other holiday-inspired habits of Thanksgiving. Not this year. Now, vaxxed and tested, maybe even boosted, we gather once more, like a bunch of gosh darn superheroes.
Honey?
What?
Where's my super suit?
What?
Where is my super suit?
And so, for this very special Thanksgiving edition podcast extra, we're re-airing the story of a lovable, dysfunctional family full of superheroes.
Dashiell Robert Parr, you are an incredibly competitive boy.
You always say, do your best, but you don't really mean it. Why can't I do the best that I can do?
Back in 2005, the Academy Award-winning animated Pixar film The Incredibles enthralled moviegoers with its campy 60s noir aesthetic, its nuanced portrayal of family gender roles, and its memorable cast of superheroes. And one of those superheroes, the gifted son named Dash, was played by a real-life kid, the former child actor Spencer Fox, who's been trying to outrun his own brush with superheroism ever since. On the Media correspondent Micah Loewinger has the story.
When I met Spencer almost a decade ago, I was told by a mutual friend to not bring up The Incredibles, but I did.
The audition was crazy. They said, if you have any fun voices or impressions, you're welcome to do them. And so I did an impression of my grandpa just being like this, like old Jewish man who always talked about his like time in the army, like the Silver Eagle. I guess his like nickname in the army was like the Silver Eagle. And they reacted very strongly, huge stomach laughter, like the hands up in the air, like.
He gets the gig and Pixar flies 10-year-old Spencer and his mom out to its San Francisco studio. A quirk of animated filmmaking is that you don't often get to record with the other actors. So Spencer taped the Dash parts in a handful of intense one-on-one sessions.
I was in the studio with Brad Bird the entire time.
Dash doesn't have a ton of dialogue, but Spencer and the director spent hours perfecting his performance. Like one scene where Dash is chased through the jungle by two killer drones.
The whole thing was like, you need to sound like you're out of breath. You need to sound like you've been like sprinting. And I tried my darndest to act that. But my experience as an actor was very limited. Yeah. Brad Bird was like, this ain't it.
So he has Spencer run 4 laps outside around the Pixar Studios complex.
He did the first 2 laps with me. I did the second 2 laps by myself. It was all laughter the entire time. Like he was like cheering me on. Come on, you can do it. We're almost done. And like I remember doing the last lap, and instead of like taking a break, you know, taking a sip of water, I ran back into the vocal booth, put the headphones on, and went directly into reading the lines.
In another scene, Dash is sent to the principal's office for putting a tack on his teacher's seat. He's nearly caught using his super speed, which is supposed to be a secret.
Dash, this is the 3rd time this year you've been sent to the office. We need to find a better outlet.
Maybe I could, if you'd let me go out for sports.
Honey, you know why we can't do that.
I promise I'll slow up. I'll only be the best by a tiny bit.
Oh, honey, the world just wants us to fit in, and to fit in, we just gotta be like everybody else.
Navigating the fear that others will judge or punish us for what makes us unique is a core theme in the Incredibles franchise, and one that would actually surface in Spencer's real life. Beginning in 2004, The Incredibles is one of the most praised and profitable movies of the year. Spencer walks the red carpet. He goes on Conan O'Brien. There are Dash toys in Happy Meals at McDonald's. And then he returns to regular life as a student in New York.
People were mean to me.
Really?
I remember there was a day where at recess I was chased around by bullies while they were screaming, "Incredifat."
That's so mean.
And then that sort of like later just morphed into kids just being like, "What's good, Dash? Are you going to run away?" Using it as an insult. Yeah. But I just remember being like, why do I have to feel bad about this? And so that kind of like developed this weird gut reaction inside of me. I just sort of like associated it as like a negative part of my life.
Around age 14, Spencer had to make a big decision. He was outgrowing kids' roles. And once you go through puberty, it's so much harder to get work because casting agents tend to prefer adults who look and sound like teenagers.
So my agents were just like, if you want to keep doing this, you need to work like four times as hard. You need to probably not be in real school. Change your life completely and dedicate it to acting. And I was like, I do not want to do that.
Why didn't you want to do it?
I think that was like right when I started developing other interests. Like right when I got into music, I was not an actor.
He was playing guitar in a band. He read literature. He grew up. But even as a college student, Dash followed him.
Walking into a party and you meet someone and they're like, "Oh, you're Dash." You could be like, "I actually know how to fly a plane and I just shot someone and they died." And they'd be like, "Cool. So like, did you meet Samuel Jackson?" And that makes you feel like you don't have a lot of agency over your own life.
Meanwhile, his indie pop band, Charlie Bliss, was attracting press. They were racking up millions of streams on Spotify. And in 2017, they started touring the world.
I'm in England. We've just released our second record. It feels amazing. Here's this great sold-out show in Manchester. And in between songs, people have screamed like, "Dash! Why are you screaming that at me right now?"
Yeah.
Here's this entirely different creative endeavor that I've been embarking on for a full decade now. And I'm still being defined by this thing that I did when I was 10 years old.
Before I began interviewing Spencer for this story, I didn't know anything about the bullying or the heckling. Now I understand that his caginess was more than a fear of being pigeonholed as the Dash guy. It was about protecting himself from the nagging fear that maybe he'd peaked young. Though we didn't start talking about any of this until...
A sequel to The Incredibles is finally on its way, and Disney has officially announced the film will arrive in theaters on June 21st, 2019.
I remember one time we talked about it, I was like, "Have you seen it?" And you reacted very strongly, and you were like, "No, I'm not seeing that stupid movie."
The fact that I have not seen it, it's like purely just a formality of the fact that I have been touring for like the past like 5 years almost straight.
But I guess to push back.
Like, yeah, sure.
You have had time to see it.
Am I going to go out of my way to watch the sequel? I'm just not.
Like, okay, going... Go out of your way as if like...
This is some gotcha journalism, man. Micah showed up outside my apartment with a full news team being like, "Spencer Falk, the movie's been out for 4 years. What's your excuse?" I had to hold a press conference at town hall. "Listen, I want to address the allegations about the fact that I have not yet seen The Incredibles 2. First and foremost, I would never do anything to besmirch The Incredibles franchise."
I want the insight, you know? I feel like...
Okay, here. We can... Let's backtrack. How can you possibly fall back on the excuse that like, "Oh, I just like haven't gotten around to it"? You're right.
It seems like you have really complicated feelings around being Dash.
Yes.
It seems to me like it's kind of a curse.
I have so much guilt in admitting to that.
But wouldn't watching Incredibles 2 take something off your shoulders? You're no longer Dash. Someone else is Dash.
That feels like now this is fully no longer a part of your life.
Do you know anything about the kid they cast?
I know that his name is Huck Milner. I don't know much else about him.
On one hand, you have been tormented by this thing that defined you at a very young age. And on the other hand, maybe part of the reason that you haven't watched Incredibles 2 is because you're not ready to give it up.
100%. It's almost like watching someone you really care about just move on and prosper.
Do you feel that Dash has been taken from you?
Some part of me feels as though I am having something taken from me. The one thing that I did know about the sequel is that it takes place directly after the first movie. And like, maybe that triggers the gut reaction of being like, keep me away from this thing. It's so close to home. I think if there was more fictional space and narrative space between the first and second movie, I would maybe have more comfort in the fact that I was not cast. But this is all, it all sounds so silly because it's like, no shit, you weren't cast. You are now 27 and the character is 11.
But you're Dash.
I was.
But I'm saying it's not crazy to identify with Dash.
It just feels crazy to me because I feel like I've been trying my entire life to be like, oh, I'm better than this. I don't need to be defined by this. And now second movie comes out and I'm like, I can't look at it. But I think that's the truth behind any strong attachment that you retain during your adult life, is there's always going to be these conflicting emotions about how far it drifts away from you, and the, you know, the question of like, how much control do you have over this relationship?
And the one bit of control that you've had is just not watching the movie.
Absolutely.
So should we watch it?
Let's watch The Incredibles 2.
We put on the movie. As supervillains continue to threaten mankind, the Incredibles family struggle to find their place in a world that doesn't seem to want their help.
We want to fight bad guys!
No, you don't. From now on...
So now we've got to go back to never using our power.
It defines who I am.
We're not saying you have... What?
Someone on TV said...
Superheroes are illegal.
This is just funny watching this movie.
How so?
It's just crazy. All of this imagery... And all of these things are so, like, weirdly tied to, like, my experiences in life. It's like seeing family photos that you're not in or something.
I wish I could say the movie moved Spencer to tears or provoked deep disgust or something dramatic like that. But this is a Pixar movie. It's built on emotional conflicts that set up satisfying character arcs with slapstick hijinks for comedic relief, leading to a carefully paced, action-packed crescendo and a heartwarming ending.
It was great.
Really?
It was super fun. Yeah, it was so fun. What could you say wrong about that lovely film? Besides there's like a little bit of magic that was definitely there in the first one that just for some reason it just wasn't in the sequel. I can't.
What did you think of Dash?
I think that Huck Milner crushed it, did an amazing job. It's silly that it's taken me this long. Straight up silly.
Before we started the movie, I told Spencer I had a surprise for him when it finished.
So I reached out to Huck Milner.
I knew it.
And I asked him if he would be willing to talk to you. And he was like, yeah, he really wants to talk to you.
Oh my God. I would love to talk to Huck Milner.
A couple weeks later, I get them both on the phone.
It is nice to finally meet you, man.
Yeah, nice to meet you too.
At first, it was a bit awkward, so as an icebreaker, I had Spencer tell the story of Brad Bird making him run all those laps around Pixar Studios.
Well, that kind of happened to me, too.
No way.
Except I kind of decided to run around the studio.
It was your choice?
Well, during a lunch break, I just decided that I wanted to, like, get more into the role or whatever.
Oh, my
gosh. So I just ran around the studio once. I remember that day, I think I was wearing, like, an actual Dash costume.
No.
Which is really funny.
Oh, my God. Well, I applaud your dedication to the role, man.
Huck, do you have any heroes? Are there any actors that you really look up to?
Well, I definitely look up to Samuel Jackson. And I looked up to Spencer Fox a lot when I was, like, 5 or 6, because I remember watching the movie a lot and a lot.
Oh my God. That's wild.
Huck, what was your audition like?
Well, what I did was I did first an MP3 audition, and I actually listened to Spencer Fox in the movie like a billion times beforehand, because I wanted to get it completely correct.
Ah.
Yeah. My mom just found the original audio of me trying to imitate you.
No.
Oh, wait, we have to
hear
this.
Oh my God, yes, please.
My name is Huckleberry Arthur Milner. Dash. Did somebody say fast? Fast is my middle name.
we gotta get you two together in real life.
So true.
That'd be cool.
Post pandemic, we're going bowling.
After the Huck meeting, I called Spencer back.
Is there room for two Dashes in your life?
Yes, absolutely. My relationship to the character was like under lock and key, super guarded, very hesitant to talk about it. But I think this process has been all about opening that up. And especially after just like seeing the second movie, my relationship towards all of this has changed so dramatically, which has been like, God, beautiful. Dash is in good hands, man.
Thanks for listening to the Midweek Podcast. Check out the big show on Friday, usually posts around supper time. Thanks.